This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a Pushing Back Enviro Show, and I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I'm not in the studio with...
I am Pushy Glenn Ayers.
Okay, Pushy Glenn. Are you sick and tired of governments overstepping their bounds? Well, when it comes to trashing Mother Earth, we certainly are. Our roots go back to Earth First, and support for edgy groups like, Animal Liberation Front, Earth Liberation Front. Perhaps one of the highest profile defenders of the planet is Captain Paul Watson, founder of Sea Shepherd Conservation, who is now imprisoned by the Danish government in Greenland for interfering with a Japanese whaling fleet. Closer to home, and closer to legal, we were gratified to discover our Massachusetts auditor, Diana DeSaglio, was interested in running an audit, quote, to promote accountability and transparency, improve performance, and make governments work better. She even sings about it. Go to the blog, click on the link. That's EnviroShow without the W.blogspot.com. Well, EnviroShow listeners well know our concerns about the lack of accountability on Beacon Hill and with agencies like the DCR and Mass Wildlife, to name a few. Auditor DeSaglio joins us with the interview. And that brings us to our quote of the week. Here it is, short and sweet. Quote, the whole art of government consists of the art of being honest. Close quote. And that was Thomas Jefferson who said that. Okay, Glenn, I think that takes us to our interview. Well, as we said at the top of the show, our singing state auditor, if you go to the blog and click on the links, you'll see that she's an amazing person. And she's trying to do all the right things. She wants to see what's going on Beacon Hill, just like a lot of us want to know. And unfortunately, the state attorney general somehow stopped her from doing that. I'm sure that she can fill us in on that. But Diana is an amazing person. And you're going to find out in this interview just how amazing she is. Okay, EnviroShow listeners, like I said at the top of the show, our Massachusetts auditor, Diana DeSaglio, was interested in running an audit to promote accountability and transparency, improve performance, and make government work better. And we sure like the sound of that, and we are now honored to have her on the show. So, hey, Diana, hello. Welcome to the EnviroShow, and... maybe start off with just a brief self-introduction, and then we'll see what else we can get to.
Yeah, great, Dio. Thank you so much for having me on the EnviroShow. I'm thrilled to be here with you and really excited about the opportunity to talk about what the Office of State Auditor actually does. I know listeners are probably sitting there thinking, man, we're going to be thrilled with a tale of auditing today. I'm going to move beyond the sarcasm and say, I actually hope you are thrilled with the tale of auditing today. Auditing is actually really exciting nowadays. We do what's called performance auditing in the state auditor's office in Massachusetts. Point of clarification for anybody listening, I do not audit any of you. We do not audit your personal finances. I am not the IRS. My office is not the IRS. We don't audit you. We actually audit the government for you, the taxpayers, and we make sure that the government is spending your tax dollars efficiently and effectively in an effort to promote accountability and to curb waste, fraud, and abuse across our state agencies, entities, departments, and offices. And we do that through, like I said, what's called these performance audits, where we don't just look at the finances, but we look at the processes, procedures, and programs across our state agencies. I'm going to start off with this really obscure agency that maybe you've never heard of before. It's called the MBTA. I paused for the audience to potentially laugh as I'm listening to this. Of course, you've heard of the MBTA. And the MBTA is actually very well known, unfortunately, to really just not be properly serving the residents of the Commonwealth. We've had trains catching on fire, constant derailments, issue after issue, safety challenge after safety challenge. And year after year, I would argue that actually the MBTA and transportation across Massachusetts has never really properly served the residents of the Commonwealth. So we have a lot of work to do. And folks might think, well, what can the auditor's office do about transportation and the MBTA here in the state of Massachusetts? Well, we actually can conduct performance audits of different areas of the MBTA. And while we can't audit the entire MBTA at one time, as we're simply not resourced to be able to audit the entire entity at once, we can go in and audit specific issues as our resources permit. Most recently, we conducted a safety and performance audit of the MBTA, where we actually identified that one of the contracts that was privatized during a loophole period where the Tire Protection Act wasn't required to be followed under the previous administration, there was a contract executed with a private vendor. Services were privatized, not being properly vetted in accordance with that law due to that loophole. And our office found that in that contract, there were not adequate service level agreements to make sure that that private vendor was actually training their employees adequately regarding safety. We also found that inspection checks at those stations that are required to occur to promote safety and performance, that inspections were not occurring at the agreed upon frequency between the MBTA and this private vendor. So we did call for the MBTA management, new management, I might add, to take action and to get to work to help to remedy the issues that occurred under the previous administration. We are hopeful that the MBTA is taking action upon our recommendations. Certainly, we're hopeful that the new, manager, Philip Ng, has had an opportunity at this point to review those findings and to work with his new team on that. And we'll be back for a post-audit review within 6 months from that audit date, from the date that it was released. We also audit entities such as the Convention Center Authority. Folks may have read that in our convention center here in the state of Massachusetts, we heard about allegations of racial discrimination, retaliation, and issues regarding ethical concerns and issues regarding procurement and state contracting. So our office went in and we conducted an audit of the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority. And we unfortunately uncovered that state contracts were being executed unlawfully and not in accordance with their processes and their procedures regarding procurement. And also found that the Convention Center Authority really needed to augment their employee complaint process. And we also found that there was actually at one point a time when a contract was executed that was actually a $1.2 million non-disclosure agreement that concealed allegations of racial discrimination and retaliation. And that was executed unlawfully by the Convention Center Authority. So we referred those findings over to our state's attorney general. And we also referred findings to the Secretary of State's office regarding the fact that many of the public records that we requested that the convention center was required to keep under law due to the public records law, that they actually didn't keep them. And it appears as though some of those records, especially those pertaining to original bids regarding contracts, that they may have been destroyed. So we referred those issues over to our Secretary of State's Supervisor of Public Records, and also made references over to the State Ethics Commission for their review to look over our audit report and hope to work in collaboration with those entities as we work to remedy the significant issues that were identified at the Convention Center Authority that occurred under the previous administration. I am hopeful, again, regarding this entity. There is a new executive director, and she did nothing but cooperate with the office while we were conducting this audit. She was very helpful in ensuring that our team had access to the documents that we needed to be able to conduct our review. So that gives me hope that the agency is going to take action to ensure that those issues are addressed in an expedient fashion. Those are the types of things that we can do in agencies and departments that comply with our audits.
Right
now, there is one entity that is refusing to comply with the audits that our office conducts, and that is unfortunately our own state legislature. And it is unfortunate that it's not surprising to folks. Our legislature should not continue in a state like Massachusetts, especially, to be ranked as one of the least transparent, and sometimes it's been ranked as the least transparent state legislature in the entire nation. Look, our state legislature is not subject to public record laws that every municipality is subject to, that my Office of State Auditor is subject to. It's not subject to the open meeting law that our local select boards and city councils are subject to. And it is frequently heard to have been, and I can tell from personal experience, I have been there when this has been occurring. I used to serve in the state legislature. I was a state rep for 6 years, a state senator for 4 years after that. So my 10 years of service as an elected official in the legislature really allowed me to see a lot about the inner workings in the legislature, and to see what folks have been seeing recently, which is oftentimes there are bills passed in the middle of the night with no public hearing, with no recorded roll call votes. So we don't even know how legislators are voting on these issues. And that is no way to conduct business. Most recently, we saw that the breakdown in the processes and the procedures and the conducting of business behind closed doors resulted in many issues getting left on the table this session. And while some good things did get done, and those things do deserve praise, there was a maternal health bill that got done recently. You know, there was a an effort that I actually worked on when I was in the legislature that finally saw a passage pertaining to making sure that PFAS is not that the toxic forever chemical that's not in firefighters' uniforms as they're running into flames, and that heat releases those toxic chemicals into their skin. It's very dangerous. We saw that bill pass in the legislature. I was excited about that. So some things did get done, but many things did not get done that should have gotten done, and that very well could absolutely have gotten done if there wasn't such a breakdown in those processes and procedures and such procrastination and such centralization of power amongst just a powerful few in the state legislature. We could have seen a lot more get done. For example, that economic development bill didn't need to be left on the table at the end of session. Also, we had, you know, an environmental bill that was set to be moving forward to combat climate change. And we're on the Enviro Show right now. Very important. Climate change is actually a thing, folks. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're taking actions every opportunity we get. So to have missed that opportunity this session, it's unacceptable. And folks across Massachusetts are starting to see the breakdown more saliently than ever before with these breakdowns and with these bills being left on the table and with a consistently late budget. It's been at least 13 years that our state budget has been late, a late state budget for at least 13 years. That is unacceptable, friends. We can do much better in Massachusetts. And an audit by my office would allow for us to shine a light on some of the processes and procedures. It would allow us to also examine their financials in the state legislature and then make recommendations for improvements. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, especially considering all the breakdowns we're seeing. About the MBTA and what I just talked about and the fact that we're able to analyze their processes, their procedures, look at their state contracts. Imagine if we weren't able to do that. Imagine if we weren't able to examine the Convention Center Authority and uncover the fact that the law has been being violated, and that contracts to the tune of $1.2 million at times are being executed unlawfully. Friends, these are your tax dollars. We need to make sure that we are demanding accountability from every state entity. And that includes the state legislature. So we've actually gotten some pushback. We've been attempting to audit the legislature. We are actually still conducting an audit. We're just unfortunately not getting access to many of the documents that we need to complete the audit fully. But we've been getting such pushback from the Speaker and Senate President that we haven't been able to get access to the financials, to their receipts, to their procurement processes and procedures, to their procurement documents for state contracts, where they're spending our taxpayer dollars. Never mind even getting to look at the processes and procedures to determine things like whether or not sexual harassment training is occurring, things like cybersecurity training. We don't know if those things are occurring. Like we check on those things in other entities. We don't know if those things are actually occurring in our state legislature because of the refusal to participate.
I have a quick question, and that is, wouldn't you think the fact that quite a few of our recent Beacon Hill leadership people have ended up in jail or with criminal convictions, wouldn't that be an indication that we need to do some auditing in that part of our government?
You think?
It's actually the case that during the period where indictments started to occur, and we know there were three indictments of speakers in the House of Representatives, that started occurring during the early 90s and during the first speakership where there was an indictment, the first of three. That's actually when the audits stopped happening and when there was pushback against these audits. So there was pushback against the audits, the audits stopped occurring, and then we saw three indicted speakers follow. It's I'm not suggesting that one was causal of the other, but there is certainly a correlation there.
That's called a coincidence. Yeah, that is quite a coincidence. Yeah.
So we do have an opportunity, folks, to shine a light on what's happening up on Beacon Hill, to help what's going on, and to help the situation regarding those breakdowns and processes and procedures, and to increase transparency and accountability. And I will say this, I often get asked, are you going to get them? Are you going to get those legislators? And I have to take a step back because I just want to be clear that our audits exist to help and not to hurt. We are not the FBI. We do not go in and take people's cell phones, toss desks. We're not able to intrude upon meetings or intrude upon, the process that exists while legislators are doing their jobs. The legislature has a job to do. It does have its own inherent powers to legislate, to vote on legislation, to, enact the budget. Those are the powers of the legislature. The Office of State Auditor seeks to do its job, which is to audit and provide oversight to state entities. That is the power of the auditor's office. And that is what we are trying to do. But we're trying to do it in order to make government work better. That's actually the mission statement of our office. To those who might not know, our office's mission statement is make government work better. We look at these processes and procedures not to shame organizations, not to put them down. We look at the processes and procedures in order to shine a light on some of the gaps and challenges that exist for the purposes of making sure that we're working to improve upon those potentially broken systems so that taxpayers are better served, so that you, the residents, are better served. You can't fix an issue if you don't know that it exists. When we talked about that Convention Center Authority audit, we can't fix an issue regarding unlawful executions of state contracts using your tax dollars if we don't actually examine and investigate and audit their potential misuse in said organization. So we shine the light on those issues for the purposes of calling for meaningful change in a positive direction so that you, the taxpayers, are better served. I have to say this, and I see your hand up, Colette, on the screen. One more thing, though. I love our legislature. I served in our legislature for 10 years as an elected official. I was a legislative aide before that. And, you know, serving in the legislature was an amazing and incredible opportunity where I got to work alongside so many great legislators from across our communities, many of them from Western Mass, who helped to educate me about the concerns in Western Mass and challenges, you know, regarding transportation issues. You know, we heard nonstop about the East-West Rail Link and you know, making sure that y'all are getting access to opportunities regarding broadband and that you're getting adequate funding regarding your transportation system in general. And I could go on and on and on, but worked along so many great legislators who are bringing these issues to the forefront and putting them on the table, only to see them dismissed because power is so centralized up on Beacon Hill, and because there is such a breakdown in those processes and procedures. We need to help in whatever way we can, folks. And I very much do look at this ballot question like it is providing a great assist to our local legislators, to all the advocates who want a seat at that table, and to the overall institution of the legislature itself. We can shine a light on some of those broken down processes for the purpose of making things work better for the residents at home and for the legislature itself.
Right. Diana, we're looking forward to that ballot initiative. But I'm wondering, has your office ever done a performance audit or a post-audit review of DCR and Mass Wildlife?
Yeah, so we actually are going to be conducting an audit of DCR, and I want to thank you for highlighting the need for increased transparency and accountability across the board. I actually served as senator up in the Salisbury, Massachusetts area, and during my time in the Senate, we actually had some significant challenges with DCR, where we were unfortunately not getting access to how taxpayer dollars were being spent through a fund locally at Salisbury State Park, State Reservation. Folks who might not know, in this particular area in Western Mass, it's a beach, and we weren't getting access to how the fund was actually being spent. I had to do a lot of work as a senator just to get access to how those dollars were being spent. So yes, there are opportunities to audit DCR. We are going to be auditing DCR. It's on our 3-year cycle that we are going to be coming into in the coming months, where we will be conducting that audit. But right now we're actually, since we are on the Enviro Show, we are actually conducting an audit of the Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs. And we are analyzing, including but not limited to, issues pertaining to whether or not the Executive Office of Energy and Environment is doing what they need to be doing relative to the next generation climate roadmap that the legislature passed in recent years, making sure that we are meeting our climate goals, that they are providing adequate oversight in the areas that they need to. It's one thing to pass important issues into law. It's another thing to ensure that those laws are actually being followed through upon by these state agencies who are required to meet certain goals and follow that law. So we provide that oversight, and we are actually conducting that oversight audit currently in the Executive Office of Energy and Environment.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you about. And really, it comes down to the fact that I know how government works. I was a public servant for my entire career. Starting in 1980, I worked for various levels of government, state government, local government, county, and actually in the university system as well. And I know that things don't happen unless they get funded. You can have great laws, but it comes down to the implementation. And if resources are not supplied, if the proper staffing is not there, then those programs, they don't happen. that, you know, and that's where the disconnect is for a lot of our state agencies. So that kind of an audit is really critical. And the other thing I'll say is, if you're looking at the executive office, one of the problems that we have in being able to know if these things are being done is that there is such a long lag period from collecting data and reporting that data and making it accessible to the public, so that we're usually 2 or sometimes 3 years behind knowing if we're meeting our global warming greenhouse gas reduction goals. There's such a lag, and there really is no good reason for that other than the people dealing with that data are under-resourced and they're not able to keep up with things. They're so backlogged. And, you know, that's an area where how can we tell how well we're doing if we're waiting 2 or 3 years to get the data? By the time we get it, it's stale. So, you know, that's an area where we really need to pay more attention to how government is conducting business. And you would think that we'd have the technology to greatly improve that kind of reporting system, but apparently we don't, because we're not putting it as a priority and we're not funding it to the point where it's actually being implemented. So I want to thank you for that and hope that you'll be looking into that aspect of it, because, you know, all of these things are important, but if we don't have the information, and that's what audits provide, then how can we really tell what we're doing properly and where we need to make improvements?
Well, Glenn, you don't need to tell me that type of research is significantly underfunded. I will tell you, our office, you know, in part retaliation and part lack of concern, I believe, was significantly underfunded in recent years, or has been significantly underfunded in recent years. We actually got 4 to 5 times less of an increase than our constitutional counterparts, meaning other constitutional offices saw 9% and 10% increases to their budgets, while ours lagged behind at about 2%. Now, folks who know inflation in recent years at all know that, you know, in recent years, the cost of living adjustment was about 8% last year or so for our employees. We want to make sure that we're able to do that, that we're able to keep people employed and ensure that those cost of living adjustments are being made. And we've done so. But when you see cost of living adjustments hovering, you know, around or above 8% or so, and then you see following that just a 2% increase while your constitutional counterparts are getting 9% and 10%, it's disheartening. It's disheartening to know that legislative leaders in the administration did not see the value in the work that the Office of State Auditor provides, and in some instances attempted to retaliate against the Office of State Auditor for the oversight that our office provides, not wanting to know if things are going wrong. Again, our office seeks to make government work better. We understand that constructive criticism is kind of the way things are viewed sometimes, that it's constructive criticism. But the point being, it's constructive, right? And if something's going wrong and nobody points to the fact that something might be spiraling, you know, we're going to find ourselves in a lot worse off place. So our office does seek to go in and before even bigger problems arise, to stop the bleeding, so to speak, and to ensure that we're pointing to some of those challenges to help that agency pull things together, get back on track, and again, do better on behalf of the folks that they serve, but also do better for themselves, for their own work culture and their own work environment. We have a lot of great public employees, so many great folks who work in a lot of these agencies, so many folks who are giving their all when they go into work, but to your point, might be under-resourced. So we have a lot of work to do, and certainly we're going to keep advocating for those resources to be allocated appropriately.
All right. So the take-home message for folks is that they can do something about this by voting for this ballot question. I mean, that is very important. And the other thing is that they should look at the state auditor's website to see what kind of work you do. And we have developed a relationship with some folks in your office. And I think that, you know, I would encourage listeners to bring these kinds of ideas to the state auditor's office, get a better understanding of what the office does, because I feel like, at least now, we have someone who is working for us to try to actually make things better. And I understand that you're being retaliated against, and, you know, that's to be expected when you try to do your job. And I can tell you from personal experience working in state government, that happens all the time. Unfortunately, you try to do the best job that you can and you don't get rewarded. You get singled out. But that doesn't mean that we need to give up, throw our hands up in disgust. What we need to do is get some support behind, you know, put our backs behind this and push it over the finish line. And that's where this ballot question is really important. And I think that that will send a message to the legislature that the people want their business, the people's business, to be conducted in open sessions, transparently and with accountability.
Right.
That's right, Glenn. That's right. So please, folks, vote yes on one. Bring on the sun.
Yes.
Well, Diana, thanks so much for being on the show. And this is a topic that we talk about a lot in the various groups, environmental groups and climate groups that I work with. And I'm really, really heartened to hear that you're conducting this audit of the executive office, where a lot of these environmental programs are headquartered and where there needs to be a lot more transparency than there currently is. So thank you very much. On behalf of our listeners, it's really great to hear this. And, I feel like you're doing an awesome job. I hope you can stick with this. This is your position an elected position?
It is an elected position, yes. Once every 4 years. I'm not on the ballot this year, folks. Just that question is on the ballot, though. So my ability to do my job fully on all of your behalves, that issue is on the ballot, though. So please go out and vote yes on one, bring on the sun. We are the people's auditors is, you know, my slogan when I was running, when I was campaigning for the seat, I wanted to let people know what I said at the beginning, which is I don't audit you. I audit the government for you. So the slogan was, you know, the people's auditor. And right now all the folks in my office are working to be the people's auditors, but they're getting stonewalled by folks in really politically powerful positions right now who don't want people to have access to what they're doing with our tax dollars. So we can't make meaningful change and actually complete the work that we set out to do to bring that transparency unless you go to vote in November and this ballot initiative passes. So there's a lot at stake right now. That we're going to continue with the status quo and continue being the least transparent legislature in the entire nation and continue to have practically zero accountability regarding the legislative processes, procedures, and finances in terms of having a check on that. Or we're going to go to the polls and on November 5th, vote for meaningful change, bold and meaningful change, unique opportunity to actually get access to what's happening in our house.
Yes on one, bring on the sun.
Yes sounds on one.
That might be a line from
exactly. Yeah, maybe we'll have to write another one.
All right, Diana DiZoglio, thanks so much for being on the Enviro Show. Hey. Really, really appreciate it. I mean, this is the kind of activism that has to happen inside government, outside government, and, you know, there's a clear thing that our listeners can do with this really important election coming up in November. So thanks so much for everything that you're doing, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Diana.
Thanks so much, y'all. All right.
Well, Glenn, I think that's another show.
That's it for me. And I'm just going to say, you know, in keeping with the theme of this show, folks, get out and enjoy nature, and also get active and get pushy. We need to be pushy about protecting wild nature and protecting the environment. And, you know, I guess if the purpose of government is, as the quote said, the art of government consists of being honest. Well, then let's be honest with the reality around us and work on addressing climate change and protecting areas that are under assault from our industrial civilization.
Exactly. And remember, listen to your mother. It's Dio saying adios.
And I'm Glenn Ayers. Take care, folks.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.